بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والشهداء والصالحين. A tradesman that is honest, that is truthful, on the day of Qiyamah he will be risen amongst the Anbiya, amongst the Awliya, and amongst the righteous. Imagine a man is carrying out his business, but he is doing it correctly, and then he is being risen amongst the Anbiya, the Awliya-i-Kiram. The extent of the mercy, the kindness and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fulfilling your need, but Allah Ta'ala is taking it as though it's a service to Him and is crediting you with this type of honor. Anbiya, Siddiqeen and Shuhada. As Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi was asked that you have written kitabs on fiqh and on other subjects, but did you write a kitab on tasawwuf? He says, I have written books on right dealings, interactions, contracts, and without having your contracts, your dealings, transactions right, then you can't make progress. The idea of the tasawwuf is to make the progress and gain proximity to Allah Ta'ala. But if someone's dealings are not right, his contracts are not right, his interactions are not right, you can't possibly make any type of progress. So this book here actually is a book on tasawwuf, because tasawwuf is aimed to gain proximity, and without your dealings being right, how are you going to gain the proximity? As Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayh says that when we appoint someone to transact on our behalf, then this is not sufficient. We should see exactly how he transacted. He had sent some wheat to be crushed into powder. So that was a period where machinery and industry had just come into India, about 150 years ago. Industrial revolution, industries had just started off. So the servant that he had sent for the wheat to be crushed into flour had come before the normal time. He was expected to come, say, after 5 hours, and he came in 1 hour. So Mawla asked the servant that had gone to crush the flour, how come you came so early? He said, no, when I reached the mill where they were crushing the flour, then the mill was about closing. So the mill manager told me that I'm closing now. What I will do? See, you give me your wheat, that is the kernels that are whole, not yet crushed, give me, and equivalent to that, I will give you flour. So he took the crushed wheat, he took the crushed flour, and gave the wheat. Now, obviously, the crushed flour will be slightly less, because that will be without the chaff, right, coming in, without the chaff, it's just the flour only. So say for example it was 10 kilos of wheat kernels, that he got in return approximately 9 kilos of grinded flour. So when Mawla discovered this, Mawla said, well, this is riba then, this is interest. Because al-milh bil-milh, wal-hintatu bil-hinta, wal-tamaru bil-tamar, sawa'an bi-sawa'in, yadam bi-yadin. When a like commodity is sold for a like commodity, and provided it comes under weight, it's a thing that is being weighed, and like for like. So it must be like for like, and it must be on the spot. When it's a weighed item, means wheat for wheat or dates for date, it's like commodity. So the two Shari'i laws are directed. One is that it must be like for like, and the second, it must be on the spot. Here you gave 10 kilos and you got 9 kilos of wheat grinded. So though he may say that it was in lieu of the chaff or in lieu of that crushing, but the Shari requirement is it must be like for like. If you need to do such a transaction, you give in your flour for crushing, right? If he's giving you something else, then it, if it's not like for like, then it will be impermissible. And the only other way is that you sell your flour, or you sell your wheat, and you purchase the flour from him. That's the only other way. Because then it will not be like for like, it will be money for wheat. So upon this Mu'a says, sometimes we have our attendant or worker doing the transactions, and we feel quite comfortable, complacent, that he is doing it right. And he may be making an error. We don't see the need to go and inquire, find out. In Saharanpur, there was a Hindu jeweler. So many a times, an alim will go and say, I want to buy this jewelry, a bangle, or a ring, or a necklace, or some sort of a jewelry he wants to purchase. So this Hindu jeweler will tell the alim that he's purchasing it, that the way you transact, the way you want it to be transacted is not right. Because you are wanting to purchase this on credit. So the Mu'a will get a little bit upset, say, to Hindu, tu kya janta shariat kya cheez hai? You are a Hindu, what do you know what is the shariat? So the Hindu says, oh, just relax, let me tell you. I asked the big Mu'a from Saharanpur. He explained that when it's gold for gold, then it must be cash transaction. You can't buy it credit. It's gold for gold. It must be honest on the spot, and it must be like for like. So now he's got the Mu'a thinking. Now Mu'a thinks to himself, well, I have to go home the 5 kilometers and come back to the jeweler. So the jeweler said, all right, I'll show you how to do it. You want to buy gold against gold, and you don't want to take the trouble to go home, get the money and come back. Then let me show you how you do it. See, there's your friend here. He's also got a business, so take a loan from him. Say you want to buy gold to the value of 5,000 rand, so take 5,000 rand from him. Purchase the gold, right? So you bought it cash against gold. Then you can settle the debt with him. But now this is the way you'll go about doing it. You won't do it on credit. So Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah had taken the trouble to prepare a kitab on business, how to have proper, clear, straight, honest transactions, so that you can be eligible to the sawab, At-tajirun saduqul ameen, ma'an nabiyina wa siddiqina wa shuhada. That he will be raised with the shuhada, with the awliya-i-kiram. But then you have to be honest, you have to be straight, you have to be clean in all your transactions, whatever you are doing. Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says that there was a person in Kanpur, perhaps he should be selling bamboo. So I just wonder now, bamboo is it such a commodity that you are selling it in big numbers? You are a shop only selling bamboo. Now in the trip to Bangladesh, then I realized, yes, that can be a business, because you see bamboos, merchants just selling bamboo, and all grades of bamboo. Some is just green, freshly cut. Some is old and strong. Some is hard. Some is soft. And they will use it as scaffolding. They use it as scaffolding. Like we use steel, and they will use bamboo scaffolding right through a big 50-story building. But right through, they're using scaffolding to put the slabs. So then I realized, no, this thing is a business. I should wonder at that time when I read this article, what they must be doing perhaps with so much of bamboo. When I came across this, then I said, no, it's genuine. So, there was a merchant that was trading in bamboo. That whole town, bamboo was quite a popular commodity. People were purchasing and selling. So as you purchasing or selling, so you will ask that this thing, has it got a life? Says it has got a life. So the other merchants were saying, no, it's got a 5-year life. And the one person which said, no, this bamboo that I'm selling you, it's just got 1-year life. So when he says that it's got 1-year life, those say that 5 years, their businesses began to flourish, his business went down. But with time what happened, people began to realize that those that were promising 5, they were not right. In about a year, 1.5 year, the thing is just getting, it's going down. So here they came to him and he said, it's just 1 year. And true to his word, it was 1 year, or perhaps the thing's lifespan was 13 months, 14 months. But not at all less than the time that he had quoted. So now that whole business is diverted to him. See? Manfaqatun. Al-hilfu manfaqatun. It may get your business to flourish, but the barakat goes away. Mubhaqatul il-barakat, it destroys the barakat. But on the contrary, if you are speaking the truth, it may take time for you to get started. But once you started, then you just progress, you just carry on going. One person, friend, is not feeling too well, so we have to pay him a visit. Pious person, so we have to pay him a visit. So whilst he's sitting at his bedside, that man that he went to visit passed away. We had to pay him a visit while he's there, and the man passed away. Alright, he passed away. So it is around after Maghrib or so. So this visitor, he switched off that person's light and he purchased a light from the shop and he replaced his light with that person's light. So they asked him, but there was no need for you to take the trouble. Why did you have to replace? There was a light burning, and that should be enough. Now why did you replace it with your own light? So he says, you see, as long as the man was alive, that light belonged to him. That lamp belonged to him as long as he was alive. Right? But now that he is no more, that lamp that is burning is no more his property. It is the property of his estate, of his heirs. In his heirs, there'll be a woman, there'll be children, there'll be young people, there'll be small. And it's not permissible for me to use the property of infants, even though it be with their consent. Adults, with their consent you can use their property, but infants you can't use their property, even though it may be with their consent. Now, why must I put myself in such a big problem? It's the property of infants, and I can't obtain their consent. Adults, well, you can obtain their consent, but then too it can become a complication, because if it's women involved, and they are not there, all of them at that time, then where more wait for them? Someone passes away, so his one sister is in Johannesburg, one is in Cape Town, one is in Umrah, right? So now, how are you going to obtain the consent from them? It becomes difficult. So the easier thing is, I put this off, and I replace a lamp with their own money. So no questions are asked. See the truth. Labak likes this. So how small the transaction may be or how big the transaction may be, but the aspect of truth, of honesty in transactions, whether it's small, whether it's big, whether it's winding up of estates, whether it is any type of wealth, you know, in this day and time, then many people are concerned about their children. Every second person, you ask, you know, my children, make dua for them. Allah Ta'ala give them a good future. So, on account of the abundance of evil that is spreading, right? So you're worried. So I've come across two things that were common in the people who had pious children, right? Pious children. One was the aspect of halal. Our Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had given a story. He says that the Amir of Kabul, Abdul Rahman Khan, his son had gone out on a military mission, and there was some delay on the return, so he was quite perturbed. And as he entered his home, he saw his wife was quite relaxed, no worry, no anxiety. Although there is a considerable amount of delay in his return, but she is not perturbed, not worried, there's no anxiety, no concern. So he asked her, "Why is there a delay in your son's return, and you're not worried, no concern, you're showing no figure, what's your problem?" She said, "No, it's a secret between me and Allah Ta'ala, so don't worry about it." He said, "No, a wife, spouses can't keep secrets. They have to share. If it's something with you, then you must tell me. If something with me, I will tell you. So you can't hide away anything from me." So she says, "You see, you're the Amir of this Kabul, right? But ever since I conceived your child, then I didn't eat anything from your wealth. From the state treasury, I didn't eat anything. Because there can be a whole mixture of wealth, right, not right, contamination. So I should do some own business of mine. I should eat that, and I should feed your child with that. So I made sure that not a cent of doubtful wealth was administered to your child. Everything was absolutely halal. So if it was halal, inshallah, this child will come back with victory. He won't suffer. He won't suffer any loss." And true to her word, her conviction in her word, in a few days, this person was coming back, came back. So the father inquired, "What was the reason for the delay?" He says, "No, I had struck a big victory. And on my return, every town that was passing, they were celebrating the victory. So I had to stay one day here, one day here, one day here. Everybody was celebrating the victory. So therefore I came back with a delay." You look into the stories of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, his father is saying exactly the same thing at the time of his death, that alhamdulillah, there is not a cent of doubtful wealth in my possession. So that means his father, his parents, were making sure that the right type of wealth was given to the child. And then you get a personality like Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. You see the Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, and you hear about the famous story of the apple. Right? Someone found an apple flowing on a stream. He was very hungry, so he ate the thing. And then he caught his attention. Okay, I didn't get the permission of the owner. He went upstream, found out whose orchard it was, took his permission, and the long story that we know of after that. Right? So, then from this is born a person like Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi. But the common thing that's found in both the stories is halal. Abdul Rahman Khan, then Imam Bukhari, then Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So, this halal and getting your du'as answered. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he requested Nabi Sallam that my du'as must be answered. So Nabi Sallam's answer to you must eat halal and you'll get your du'as answered. When a person eats a haram morsel, then if he makes du'a, du'a is rejected. Right? If he gives charity with that wealth, the charity is rejected. If he leaves it in his estate for his children to come, then it's a curse for them. So both ways, whether you're giving it charity, whether you're using it on yourself, or leaving back as charity, both ways you're incurring a loss. What's the fayda? So one thing that is very effective in getting your children right is to ensure that what you are eating and what you are feeding them is 100%, there is no contamination, no doubt in it. We do everything else for the children, right? And nowadays, the biggest concern is choosing a name for the child. It's the biggest change, biggest name. What name must keep? Nasima, Shamima, Hamima. So, from wherever I'm going to ask. Sometimes it takes you about 5 minutes on the phone to select a name for the child. She said, "No, keep this name." She said, "No, my niece, this is her name." And say, "Keep that name." She said, "No, my other cousin, that's her name." So She don't want duplication. Absolute must be a unique name. Nobody must have kept that name. That must be the name of the child. But the child's name is a secondary thing. The primary thing is, see the child's akhlaq, talim, tarbiyah. That was supposed to be the concern. And should I avoid about that? Very strange and a unique name you must keep. Hamima, Shamima, Kamima. Kya fayda? Kis mein kya rakha hua hai? I don't say you don't select a good name, but this unique name, Imam Bukhari's father didn't think about a unique name. Muhammad bin Ismail, straight class, straight name, simple, clear name. But what the personality turned out to be? What he turned out to be? Imam Shafi, Muhammad bin Idris, simple, clear, straightforward name. But what he turned out? He turned around things, capsized the whole world. Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, brought everything into a line. So more than looking out for an excellent name, is to teach excellent manners, teach them excellent ways, values. Now you've got the best name, but the child turns out to be a rotter. So to naam ko lekar ke kya karo? Best name. So this becomes a big discussion now. That look for that name, Hamna and Yumna and pata nahi kya kya naam hai. Must keep that name. Some strange, some unique name, nobody kept it. Before, you should keep names, simple names, Fatima, Rehana, Zubeda. So they should keep all those names. Women were alright, mashallah, and they're in good forms. Now with all these fancy names, did any of these fancy women make any achievement as such? Any achievement, any contribution to the world? So that name is not so important. I don't say don't keep a good name. Would I keep a good name? But more than that is to pass on good values, good habits, good akhlaq, good ilm, etc. That's the more important thing. So the one thing that is very effective in the upbringing of the children is halal. Ensure that the child is eating halal. Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu, he took one morsel, that's a date or something. So Rabbi Sims pulled it out, kakh, and he pulled it out. That we are Sadat. This wealth here is perhaps the wealth of Zakat Sadaqah, and you can't eat this. So as an infant child, just one date also, Rabbi Sims did not tolerate. That this is not right for you to consume. So he pulled it out of the mouth, that you can't eat this. Weeding is a small thing, so what? So that wealth that is contaminated, doubtful, haram, it must have its effect. Allah Ta'ala is pure, He will only accept that which is pure. And which is haram or which is doubtful, then it will have that type of effect, it will take you wrong. No matter how pleasant it looks, no matter how much it looks, but the fact that it is not right, it will take you in the wrong direction. The wrong type of will have the wrong type of motivation, wrong type of inclinations. It can't take you to the right. Simple thing, come back to halal. Clean, halal, pure, even though it may be less. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبُلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ Allah Ta'ala is pure, and He'll only accept that which is pure. Which is, called any doubt, He's not going to accept it. So this is the one thing that we need to take a special attention. See, we want to do something for the good of the child. And obviously, whoever is keeping whatever name, whatever they're doing, they want to see the good, the prosperity, and a future for the child. So if that's the intention, a future, good prosperity, then use your brains, right? Leave the name, and leave the business, all that. Look that you are administering something that is absolutely halal and pure and clean. In the process of earning wealth, then you're not sacrificing any law of Allah Ta'ala. Any law of Allah Ta'ala is not being sacrificed in the process. There was some Malaysian Philippine boy studying here, that we are studying in a university in Philippines or in Malaysia. So I just asked him in passing, that how did Islam come to you people, Malaysia, Philippines, small islands you are living in, although you are extending from one end to the other end, is all these islands, Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand or Syria. From one end to the other, and it's over 500 million people. But now I want to know that how Islam came to your people. So the students told me that this is part of our curriculum. We are taught, because we are predominantly Muslim, so we are taught. And this information is stored in the archives up to today. We are taught it, we are taught as a subject, and this thing is still preserved in the archives. So he says that, gave the date, I don't remember the exact date, but it was about 500-600 years ago. A group of Gujarati Muslims came as traders. Right? When they came as traders, then in a few months or so, they cornered the entire market. People are buying from them. So there was a complaint, and the complaint was directed to the government. The xenophobia. The people from the outside, they came here, and they took our business. So perhaps the governments at that time, they were not so advanced. They didn't know about xenophobia. They were not so progressive. But they made they instituted a survey, commissioned a whole survey, that what is the reason this people's business is flourishing like this. They diverted the entire market to their side, and the other businesses all went down. The local people's business went down, and their business is flourishing. So what is the secret? What are they doing? So they found about three or four things that they were practicing. One is, they were very fair in the dealing. I know up to the time we were studying in India, so someone is selling grains, right? So they'll have small pebbles inside that grain to pick up the weight. Right? So if you've got 5 kilos of grain, one kilo of pebbles. So it picks up the weight. You're getting 6 kilos for five. So these people, they won't do anything that was wrong. Honest, truthful. They're scaling, then they're tilting the scale, and giving you a few more grams. Not they sure that they won't give you anything less. It'll be a little bit more pricey, but they're giving you pure stuff. No, not damaged stuff, not deficient and rejected. Absolutely pure and clean stuff. So this was the one thing that we noticed in them after the investigation, right? The second thing, these people came as tradesmen, and they came for a duration of time, right? Came without their wives. And our people here, Indonesia, Malaysia, being a hot land, so the women are scantily dressed. They're not dressed very well. But these people made sure they never raised their eyes towards our women. They looked on the ground, just strictly on the ground, and dealt with them. So they never interfere with women. Normally, if you are in a position of business, right, you are the boss, so you're in a position of strength. And when you are in a position of strength, then you extort. You're the manager, you're the boss, so you extort people that are lower than you. But none of our women were exploited with their hands. They never even looked at them, they never even looked at the ground. Did the business, looked down, and didn't take a second glance towards our women. Never exploited them, never misused them. So this was the second thing that we found. This is a different class of people. They're honest, and they don't misuse. Sometimes we're doing big business, sometimes we're wearing kurta all that, but then in these matters here, then we become too relaxed. Girls, you've got a girl, woman secretary, and you're there now, you've got a kurta, so everybody thinks that you're a pious person. But the young secretary is sitting next to you, around you, and who knows what's happening? It's only Allah knows. She has to get favors to get favors. She has to give favors to get favors. So she'll be doing all sorts of things just to receive some type of a favor. So these people here that came in, they never ever abused or exploited this woman. It's our people, so we know exactly what's happening. So this was the second thing. And the third thing that was quite prominent in them, that they kept to their word. Right, it was some account or something, whatever it was, that they purchased or they sold, but they kept to their word. They never turned away from the word. No interest, no turning away from the word. They kept to the word. So that was the third thing. And the fourth thing we noticed that they never compromise in the hour of Salah. Salah, before the Azan could go, so they closed, did the namaz, itminan ke saath, and then they returned. So when the king heard this, say, well, they cornered the entire market because of this, then it must be something very great, you know, for them to attract the entire market. So instead of going on a xenophobia spree and fighting and looting the shops or burning the shops and killing those people, they said, well, if this religion is teaching these type of values and this type of conduct, then why don't we accept it? That we can also gain, we can also benefit like these people are benefiting. So the king accepted Islam, and the government accepted Islam, and the entire country accepted Islam. Now it's over 500 million from one end to the other end that have accepted Islam. And I ask you, largely the thawab goes to whom? To those people that are doing business. So you know, in business, and in what level of strength you have got. Came purely for business reasons, but what they left, it's over 600 years that Islam is flourishing there, but you can safely say that the reward is for this businessman. So if you are true, you are honest, with your business, with your wealth, you can also get your deen done. And 500 years, 600 years have passed, see, when you were honest, so Allah Ta'ala rewarded you with greater profits, not just material profits, with greater spiritual profits. All the reward is credited to your account. Again, the truth. So this being truth, honest, no robbing and cheating, no misleading the person, not taking advantage of a person. Woman has come in and you're taking advantage, namaz times, you know, being very, 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 very particular. And in that business, a lot of tabligh is done. You're seeing it, tabligh is done. Right? You've got workers and you are treating them rightly, paying them before the sweat can dry. That is another aspect, another dimension of business. That the workers that are under your employ, you see that you are treating them correctly. Like how you would want to be treated, you treat them. It doesn't mean that they offer you their service so you can take advantage over them. So we feel, no, I'm paying him so I can take advantage over that person. It's a misconcept. He sold you his service, he didn't sell you his honor. He sold you his service, not his honor. Mahathir was very particular about this, that workers that are under you, then how do you deal with them? With respect, disrespect, or you disgrace them, insult them, humiliate them. That's because you are paying them, so you feel you have the right to humiliate them, and that's wrong. So therefore, anyone that was connected to Mullah, well, in particular about this as well, that how do you deal with your workers? Are you dealing correctly with them? One person, in a fit of rage, he shouted one of his workers. By the end of the day, or the next day, he realized, you know, I slipped up. I'm not supposed to be abusive. Yes, he sold me his time and his service, but he didn't sell me his honor and respect. And I insulted him, so it's not right of me. I was thinking how to correct the situation. So I saw it, his salary perhaps is about 4,000. So let me give him 1,000 and I'll square this thing up. So he gave 1,000, you know, make me maaf and whatever has happened, everything. So he gave 1,000, worker is quite happy, content, satisfied. But in his mind he wanted to know, I have given this 1,000 in lieu of that abuse, right? I abused the person, so I gave him 1,000. So I should square it up and make him get a maaf from him. So you want to know that how does he feel, how does he take to it? So you can't ask him directly, you got someone else to ask him, some other worker, how do you feel? Are you happy that in lieu of that insult, you got 1,000, are you happy? So the worker turns around and says, हमें तो एसी गाड़ी तो रोजाना चाहते हैं. This type of abuse we want every day. So cash it just up. One insult, they got 1,000. One insult, they got 1,000. So I want this type of insult every day. But you see the relationship. How particular they are. That you are doing business, you want to have people under you. They didn't sell you their respect. They sold you the time, so you'd be cautious about that. And really, if you're going to be cautious, paying them well, seeing them well, your business is not going to go down. In fact, it'll progress to some other level. You'll notice it yourself when you're kind, compassionate, and you're considerate, right? Then your business will go to another level. In fact, they will take the figure to see that the business is going well. Because of the way you are dealing with them, they will take it like the personal thing. And you'll see your business flourishing. So you enjoy as they enjoy as well. So this hadith that we just discussed now, At-tajiru saduqul amin, honest, true dealings. We're not abusing and not exploiting any person, any woman, putting advantage over them, giving them the full dues before the time, before the due time, but we're giving them the full dues. If we're saying something, then it is genuine. We're not giving a second class, second grade thing, and taking a first grade money. So all these aspects of honesty, truth, etc. And you see the barakat in it. And then not only in your wealth you see barakat, but you see it in your children as well. You see it in your household as well. Allah pak tawfiq nasib kare.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا لا منتهى له دون مشيئتك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم جزى الله عنا نبينا سيدنا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا مونس كل وحيد ويا صاحب كل فريد ويا قريبا غير بعيد ويا شاهدا غير غائب ويا غالبا غير مغلوب يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا زين السماوات والأرض يا نور السماوات والأرض يا مبدئ النعم قبل استحقاقها يا ربنا ويا سيدنا ويا مولانا ويا غاية رغبتنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم رحمتك نرجو اللهم رحمتك نرجو فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها لنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا إله العالمين oh most kind كريم رحيم الله والله we beg you forgive our sins يا الله والله we have committed many many gunas and sins يا الله والله we are criminals in your court يا الله والله we are not justifying our wrongs يا الله والله we begging you يا الله والله we begging you we confessing يا الله that we committed many sins we begging you to forgive us يا الله والله please make us maaf يا الله forgive our sins يا الله forgive our wrongs يا الله والله give us توفيق to leave out sinning يا الله والله bring us into your itaat and your obedience oh Allah والله make your مغفرت upon us يا الله والله we beg you يا الله this is the month of forgiveness يا الله والله forgive us all يا الله والله forgive our parents forgive our wives and our children forgive our uncles and our aunts forgive our brothers and sisters our nephews and nieces whether our neighbors, our asatiza, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, make faisla for the forgiveness of the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, shower down your special rahmat and mercy upon us, ya Allah. Allahumma aftah lana abwaab rahmatik. Allahumma aftah lana abwaab rahmatik. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min fadlik. Allahumma atmim alayna bi ni'matik. Allahumma asbigh alayna min fadlik. Wallah, shower such a special fazal and karam, ya raham, ya mercy, ya Allah. Wallah, we desperately need of all the good that you can shower upon us, ya Allah. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Wallah, we desperately need of all the good that you can give us, ya Allah. Wallah, please forgive us, ya Allah. Wallah, have mercy upon us, ya Allah. Wallah, we beg you, ya Allah, for the good of this dunya and for the good of the akhirat, ya Allah. Wallah, whatever wrongs we've done in our past, ya Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Wallah, and whatever ni'mats we enjoyed from you, ya Allah. Allah, we appreciate it and we thank you and we make shukr for it, ya Allah. Allah, unfortunately we've not made shukr for your favors, ya Allah. Allah, we failed in making shukr to you, ya Allah. Ya Allah, if you showered us so much of favors and so much of ni'mat, ya Allah, how can we ever start, where do we start counting your favors, ya Allah? Allah, you give us birth in a Muslim home, ya Allah. Azan and iqamat called out in our ears, ya Allah. Tahniq of pious people done on our tongues, ya Allah. Allah, kind, compassionate parents to bring us up, ya Allah. Allah, as we're growing up, you taught us Quran, ya Allah. Allah, so much you've blessed us, so much, ya Allah. We can never ever thank you enough for all the good that you've done to us, ya Allah. Allah, we beg you, ya Allah, that whatever of our life is left, ya Allah, to bless us with asiyat and ease, ya Allah. Goodness, good health, good conditions, ya Allah, and build us stronger and stronger in our iman, ya Allah. Let every day in our lives be a better day for us, ya Allah. Let it be a happier day for us, ya Allah. Allah, let the happiest day in our life be the day we meet you, ya Allah. Allah, when the time for our mouth comes, ya Allah, let it be in a condition that you're happy and pleased with us, ya Allah. Allah, save us from a bad death, ya Allah. Save us from a bad death, ya Allah. Allah, save us from dying in some shopping center or in some holiday resort or in some evil place, ya Allah. Allah, give us a good death, ya Allah. But kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on our tongues, ya Allah. Allah, let us die in a condition that we in salah, or while we're reading Quran, or we're out in your path, ya Allah, or in Makkah Mukarrama, or in Madinah Munawara. Ya Allah, in some good place, in a condition that you're happy and pleased with us, ya Allah. Allah, bless us with ita'at, ya Allah, that we can be obedient to you in everything that we do, ya Allah. Allah, create in our hearts the love for sunnah, ya Allah, the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, let everything in our lives be in conformity with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah, ya Allah. Allah, create a disgust in our heart for the ways of the West and the Kufar, ya Allah. Allah, let us turn away from their ways, ya Allah. Develop a love in our hearts for the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat and your love, ya Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat and your love, ya Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat and your love. Allahumma rizukna hubbak wa hubba min yuhibbuk wa hubba amali yuqarribuna ila hubbik. Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangata hai, koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangata hai. Ilahi, main tujhse talabgar tera. Ilahi, main tujhse talabgar tera. Allah, we are to learn your love, ya Allah. Allah, bless it to us, ya Allah. Bless us with your muhabbat and your love, ya Allah. You'll be happy with us in this world. You'll be happy with us in the akhirat, ya Allah. Allah, all the marahil of akhirat, ya Allah, make it easy for us, ya Allah. When we go in the qabr, make it easy for us to answer the questions in the grave, ya Allah. Open up the graves for us and make it a garden of jannat for us, ya Allah. Allah, when you rise us up on the day of qiyamah, ya Allah, Allah, then bless us with the shade of your arsh, ya Allah. Allow us to bask in the mountains of Muscat a day, ya Allah. Allah, when we have to stand by the mizan, ya Allah, then make the scale of good deeds very heavy for us, ya Allah. Give us our book of deeds in our right hands, ya Allah. Allah, allow us to drink from the Hawz-e Kawthar. Allow us to cross the Pul Sirat at the speed of lightning. Allah, bless us with Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning. Allah, save us from Jahannam, ya Allah. Allah, save us from Jahannam, ya Allah. Allah, save us from Jahannam, ya Allah. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Rabbana sirif anna azab jahannam. Inna azabaha kana gharama. Allah, this is that 10 days of Ramadan, ya Allah. Allah, where you're freeing souls from Jahannam, Ya Allah. Allah, free us also from the fire of Jahannam, O Allah. Allah, free us also from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with Jannatul Firdaus. Allah, bless us with the Mubarak company of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah, we're not fit for that company, Ya Allah. Allah, we'll be asking you for your fazl and karam to shower us, Ya Allah. Bless us with the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah, we have heard in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the greatest ni'mat of Jannah, Ya Allah, for the Jannati is to see your didar and to see you, Ya Allah. Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, don't deprive us of this ni'mat, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ladhata nazari ila wajhika al-kareem wa shawqan ila liqa'ik fi ghayri darra mudirra wa la fitnatin mudilla. Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, bless us with your didar, Ya Allah. Allah, all those Muslims, Ya Allah. Allah, all those Muslims. Allah, who have fasted during the month of Ramadan, who have stood up for Taraweeh, who have made your ibadat, who have recited your Quran. Allah, accept everyone's ibadat, Ya Allah. Accept everyone's i'tikaf, Ya Allah. Allah, all the dini khidmat that are taking place, the jamaats that are walking out in your path, the khanqas that are sounding with your name and your dhikr, Ya Allah, the masajid, the makatib, the madaris, the ulama who are lecturing on the members, musannifin who are writing the kitabs, the people involved in social and welfare work, those who are doing the janaza and burial work, Allah, all the different khidmat of deen, accept it, Ya Allah, from them. Allah, and give us a share and hissa in all the good work that is taking place, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us for the khidmat of deen. Allah, grant us ikhlas and sincerity, Ya Allah. Allah, throughout our lives, keep us in the service of deen, Ya Allah. In the service of your deen, Ya Allah. In the service of your Quran. Allah, we beg you to bless us. Bless us with the Quran-e-Kareem, Ya Allah. To reciting the Quran-e-Kareem daily, Ya Allah. Properly with tajweed, Ya Allah. Understanding the Quran-e-Kareem. Practicing the Quran-e-Kareem. Kareem, pondering over the Quran-e-Kareem and teaching the Quran-e-Kareem to others, oh Allah. Allah, bless us with the ni'mat of the Quran-e-Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we beg you, all those people who have been good to us, Ya Allah, who made ihsan to us in any way, whether it was our deen in regards to our deen or dunya, Allah, you reward them with the best reward and the best ajar, Ya Allah. Allah, especially Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aati Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-wasilata wal-fadilata wal-maqam al-mahmood al-ladhi وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته. والله, all those people who have contributed to our deen and our dunya, Allah, you reward them, Ya Allah. Allah, from our maktab teachers, Ya Allah, our hifz class ustads, Ya Allah, our alim class ustads, the jamaats that came to our homes and knocked on our doors and encouraged us to come to the masjid, the ulama who spoke on the minbars and gave us inspiring talks and gave us encouragement to practice on deen, Ya Allah. Allah, whoever in whichever way helped us and assisted us, Ya Allah, you reward them from your khazana according to your shan, Ya Allah. Allah, our Muslim brothers and sisters in whichever part of the world that there is difficulty and hardship, O Allah, remove the difficulties and hardship. O Allah, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters in these war-torn countries, Ya Allah, like Syria and Rohingya, Ya Allah. O Allah, it's the month of Ramadan. O Allah, whilst we are enjoying delicious, sumptuous meals on our dastarkhans, Ya Allah. O Allah, there are many of them who don't have a morsel of food to put in their mouths, Ya Allah. O Allah, they don't have a shelter over their heads. They don't have clothes to put onto their bodies, Ya Allah. O Allah, you help them and you reward them, Ya Allah. Make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Allah, our hearts are with them, Ya Allah. Our du'as are with them, Ya Allah. By right, we should be there to help them and assist them, Ya Allah. But in our weakness, Ya Allah, we are not there. Allah, we beg you, we ask you, we cry to you, Ya Allah, to be there for them and help them and assist them, Ya Allah. Allah, whatever du'as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked for, Ya Allah, all the good that he asked for you, from you, Ya Allah, Allah, we ask you to bless us with all that good, Ya Allah, and whatever protection Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sought protection from you, Ya Allah, Allah, we also seek protection from all of those, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna wa maulana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna wa maulana محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. والله, our parents, Ya Allah, reward them with the best ajar and the best rewards, Ya Allah. والله, give them long life with afiyat, Ya Allah. والله, keep them in your protection, Ya Allah. Protect them from all difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. والله, those who have passed on, Ya Allah, fill the qabars with nur, raise their stages in the highest positions of Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. والله, give us tawfiq of making our parents khidmat, Ya Allah. والله, pleasing them and making them happy, Ya Allah. والله, Allah, that their hearts explode with du'as for us, Ya Allah. Save us from doing anything that will upset and hurt our parents, Ya Allah. Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنِيُ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.